Every time I think I'm flying, I'm just falling. So close to touching the sky, but gravity keeps pulling me back down. But I can't stay here forever.
Today, welcome to our Easter celebration, and we are using the theme gravity. As you can tell by our set, props, and even from the music today, we are celebrating Easter, but we're using the theme gravity. And some of you may ask, Pastor, first of all, I had to come and just see how you're going to bring the Easter story off of the theme gravity. And I just simply say to ye, a little faith, come on now. You know PG can do this. Come on. You say, why do you use themes like this when you're teaching? Oftentimes we'll use themes like this because when we see Jesus teaching in Scripture, he used what we call parables, which is another word for stories. He used stories that were relevant to the culture that they could understand godly principles and spiritual principles and bring them back into kingdom principles. And so that's why we use on days like Easter that we use sometimes stories like this to help us, give us illustrations that we can better understand what the Scripture is teaching us. And so today we decided to use the theme gravity. I know this is one of the top grossing movies of the last year. It was up for several Academy Awards, won 7 Academy Awards for Best Director and Cinematography and several other areas. It starred Sandra Bullock as Dr. Ryan Stone. I believe she's still hanging up there to my left right there in that suit there, hanging on. She got blown away. Anyway, she's there. And then, of course, star two main characters, Sandra Bullock as Dr. Ryan Stone, and then, of course, Captain Matt Kowalski, played by the, well, first of all, they offered the job to me, and I turned it down, but they got my understudy and gave it to George Clooney. Anyway, but these two are the two main characters in this movie, and, of course, Sandra Bullock is playing Dr. Stone, who is on her first NASA assignment, and Captain Matt is on his last NASA assignment. He's retiring from the space shuttle, and he's no longer going to be doing any more assignments in space, and so he's looking forward to getting back home, and this is her first one. And what we find happening in Dr. Ryan's life is something that I think all of us here, she just kind of finds herself just kind of floating through life. And what had happened earlier in her life, we find out later on in the movie, is that her daughter had died. And after her daughter died, that she emotionally shut down. And that she had emotionally checked out of life. She was living her life without purpose. She was living her life without really anything going on. Even though she's on top of the world, literally, over space looking. She is out there floating, but yet there's no excitement in that adventure because she's really become so isolated on the inside that after her daughter died, she shut down emotionally and has just been floating through life. I want you to see this first video clip and see when she's out there working, her and the captain on the satellite repairing it, all of a sudden they get word that a missile strike has happened and it's hit one of the other space satellites, and now there's debris coming their way, and they need to take shelter. See what happens in this clip.
Man down!
Houston, this
Man
is Explorer. Copy. Houston, this is Explorer. Copy.
Explorer's been hit. Explorer, do you read? Explorer. Astronaut is off structure. Dr. Stone is off structure. Dr. Stone detached. You must detach. If you don't detach, that arm's gonna carry you too far. Listen to my voice. You need to focus. I'm losing visual of you. In a few seconds, I won't be able to track you. You need to detach. I can't see you anymore. Do it now. Houston, I've lost visual, Dr. Stone.
So the question is this, do you ever feel like you're just floating through life? just going along without much purpose and direction. For many of you here, the answer would probably be yes. That you're just kind of floating through life without a lot of direction, a lot of purpose in your life. On the outside, maybe you look like you have it all together. But on the inside, it's not all together. We see in this clip where she's out there floating along, and all of a sudden the debris begins to come her way. And if one of these objects was to strike her, it would kill her instantly. And sometimes that's the way it is in life. We're just kind of out there floating along, and life begins to throw things at us unexpectedly. And as things come at us, we begin to spin out of control. And our life is spinning out of control, and we can't get a grip. And on the outside, let's be honest, on the outside, we're all good at pretending we got it all together. But on the inside, we're realizing that our life is really floating along at best. And for many of us here, if we could just take off our mask and be honest, we feel like our life is spinning out of control. I know what that feels like. And we see her spinning out of control, and all of a sudden she loses communication with NASA and with the Captain Matt. She gets into a place where she cannot, her radios don't work, and she's talking and needing help, and there's no one there to talk to her. She's detached. Can you imagine your first assignment in space, and this happens? You get detached from everybody, all communication, all lifelines. You're just floating through space. The panic that hits her. She's crying out, and no one can hear her. She's crying out, "Are you there, Captain? Are you there, NASA? Anybody there?" No one can hear her. You know, I remember when I was younger, I used to, you ever had those dreams when you were younger? Maybe you felt like someone was breaking in your house, or for me, it was, I used to have a dream where you're living in Tornado Alley that I could see a tornado coming from a long ways away, and I would run to tell people that it was coming, but I'd be like, you're trying to scream and nothing comes out. You ever had those dreams? Or am I the only one that's screwed up? Okay, I want to make sure. Because, you know, I would have those dreams, you know, and I'm trying to scream and nothing's coming out, you know, trying to warn people. You know, I think some of that is how we look on the inside, that we feel like we're screaming out for help. We're screaming out for God. We're screaming out for something, and no one can hear us. Our life is screaming out for somebody to hear us, somebody to notice us, somebody. God, if you're there, you ever feel like your prayers and your conversations with God just kind of hit the ceiling and don't go any further? She's out there communicating, screaming, and nothing happens. Some of you here today, you say, "Pastor, I've tried calling out to God before, and I didn't feel anything, didn't see any change. It didn't get any better." I've been there. I understand that feeling. One of the cool things in this story that happens is when she is in her panic mode and she loses all communication, she's just floating along. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, dun-dun-dun-dun, Captain Matt comes flying in on his jetpack, and he grabs her and he attaches himself to her. He says, "I got you." And immediately he begins to talk to her and ask her questions that calm her down. Tell me about your life back on Earth. And he's trying to be funny and humorous, all to bring peace to her life. You know, sometimes that's the way it is with God. That we're out there floating around and we're screaming out for God to help. God, help me. Anybody listening out there? And through those times that if we don't give up, that God will come out of nowhere and he'll attach himself to your heart. He'll attach himself to your life, saying, "I got you. I know you're spinning out of control. I know you've been screaming and nobody's responded, but I've heard your cry. I see your heart. I've seen your tears when nobody was looking. And I'm here today to know that I'm drawing close to you." See, Scripture teaches us that. It says, those who call upon the Lord, that he will draw near to him. And he comes and he attaches himself to our life. So he comes and he brings, it kind of reminds me of a story we find in Luke chapter 5 of some guys who are just kind of floating through life with no purpose. Speaking of floating, let's go right through the story of a couple of guys floating on a lake in a boat. Luke 5, chapter 4, it's a story where Jesus shows up and he says to Simon, who we know later to be called Peter, he says, hey, Pete, now go out there where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Peter says, Master, we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. You must have went fishing with Pastor Tom. Didn't catch any fish. You ever had those days? Okay. But he goes, but if you say so, I'll let down our nets and we'll try again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they begin to tear. Isn't that amazing? See, sometimes it just takes that step of faith. I've tried it. I've prayed before. I've called to God before. I've tried it. It doesn't work. And see that time that the Spirit speaks to you, that God's voice comes to you and speaks to you and says, try now. And you say, I've never felt it before, but I'm going to try by faith one more time. It's in those times that God can show up in such a powerful way that he's never shown you before. So many fish that their fish nets begin to tear. He shouted out for his partners, and they came in the other boat. And soon, look what it says, soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. So they went from catching no fish to having so many fish, their boat's about to sink. Look at Peter's response here. Pete realized that what had just happened. He falls on his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. You ever felt that way before? Some of you walked in that way today. Some of you are just surprised that the church didn't collapse when you walked in here today. You're like, Pastor, if you really knew what I was all about, you wouldn't welcome me here. And I say, welcome to the club. Because there ain't nobody here perfect. We've all sinned and come short of God's glory. We've all made mistakes. So welcome to the club. We're not perfect. We just serve a perfect God who gives us perfect grace. Well, I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, you better keep looking. And if you find it, please don't go in and spoil it for everybody else. No such thing. Peter says, man, Jesus, I'm not worthy. I realize this by this divine appointment that I'm not even worthy. I'm a sinner. I got to get away from you. I love what Jesus does. Jesus replied to Simon. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Think about that. One encounter with Jesus. And Pete's ready to take all the boats, put them in storage, close up the fishing business, and say, my life has purpose. I'm tired of just floating through life. It's not just about how much money I make. It's not just about how big of a boat I can buy. It's not just about what kind of car or house I live in. My life, there's greater purpose than that. And I see it now. It's not just about me. It's not about how many fish I catch or if I'm named the Fisherman Association of the Year. It's that the Savior came and touched my life, and I'll live the rest of my life following after his purpose in my life. See, for many of us here, that's the way it is. You've tried fulfillment in dead-end jobs. You thought if I could get the next promotion, that I'd be satisfied. You've gotten it. If I could buy the next bigger car, I'd have it. If I could get into a better relationship, it would all be better. And even though those things can bring different types of comfort and even security inside, you know that it is still not fulfilling your life. That's why Bono can write a song that says, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Why did he write that song? Because he realized all the fame and fortune in the world was still empty without Jesus. And your life will never be complete until you learn to attach yourself to the Savior, to extend your hand to the lifeline he's passing out to you and I today. We find this story continue later on where Remember the story where Jesus was teaching on the side of the hill and thousands of people there, and they had nothing to eat. And so he took the little boy's lunch, a fish and bread, and he broke it up and multiplied it and multiplied it and multiplied it. And he fed over 5,000 men. That's not including women and children that day. And at the end of that, he told his disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side of the sea, and I'll meet you there. So they get in the boat and they take off without Jesus in their boat. About halfway there, a storm began to rise in the sea and the winds began to blow and they get kind of fearful. All right, we're out here. The storm's coming. And all of a sudden they look in the distance and they see something coming across the water. And they're like, man, is that a ghost? What is that? And Pete's like, no, I think that's Jesus. It's gotta be Jesus. Hey, Jesus, is that you? He says, yes, Pete, it's me. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come here. Come on, Pete, let's go for it. So Pete gets out of the boat, begins to walk toward Jesus. And as long as he keeps his eyes on Jesus, he rises above the storm and the waters, and he begins to walk toward Jesus. And all of a sudden, he realizes, what am I doing? Like any of us, like, I'm walking on water. This is a supernatural miracle. And he gets nervous and begins to sink. And he calls out to Jesus, and Jesus walks up and says, Pete, man, your faith is not quite there yet. You know, you got kind of a weak faith, but he pulls him back up, and together they go back into the boat. And Jesus climbs into the boat. You see, this is what's amazing about our Savior today, is that he wants to get into the middle of your storm. He wants to get and walk across the seas and jump into the middle of your boat when you feel like you're just floating through life. When you feel like you're floating through life with no purpose and the fear is gripping your heart on the inside. On the outside, you've got it all together. But on the inside, you know that your life is living without purpose. And if you'll let him, the Savior will come and he'll jump in your boat. He'll get into the middle of your life and he'll bring divine comfort. He'll bring divine purpose and he'll show you your God-given destiny. He jumps into the boat. Changes everyone's life. I want you to see the second clip from the movie. It's the clip where Captain Matt and Dr. Ryan are attached together and they're trying to make their way onto safety to the other space station. And so they got to get into the shuttle that's up there from another country and fly it over to the other country station. And they're hanging on by a thread. And Captain Matt has to make a decision. Let's see this clip.
Gotcha. You just hold on, and I'm gonna start pulling you in.
Hey, Doc.
Just hold on, hang on. I am gonna pull you in.
Ryan, listen.
Pull you in.
You have to let me go.
No.
The ropes are too loose. I'm pulling you with me. You have to let me go, or we both die.
You go, we're fine.
No. Ryan, let go.
No, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere.
It's not up to you.
No. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't do this. Please don't. No. Please don't do this.
You're gonna make it, Ryan.
No! I had you.
In the story, we see Captain Matt making the decision to cut himself loose in order that Dr. Ryan can live. And as heroic as it seems in the story, if you really think about it, even though it was a heroic thing that he did, it really wasn't much of a sacrifice because he was going to die anyway. He's seen it coming. We're either both going to die or I can cut her loose and only I die. So he made the decision to save her life by cutting himself loose. But see, that's different than the story of the cross. Because scripture says that at any moment, that the Savior could have called 10,000 angels. He could have walked away from that. He didn't have to die on the cross. He chose to give his life for you and I. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for me and he died for you. He chose to allow himself to be crucified. He chose to save you and I. Not because it was the last thing, the last choice, but he willingly gave it because he loved us. So he allowed himself to be tied up to a whipping post, to have his clothes stripped off of him. He allowed the soldiers to take a whip with 9 tails, strapped on those tails was broken glass, and hooks that he would use to fish with, sharp rocks, and those soldiers would take and whip his back into a way where it would dig into the back of his flesh. With every snap of that whip, they pulled off the flesh, the muscles from the bottom, from the back of his back there. Pulling the flesh off his bones to the point to where his whole back looked like it had gone through a meat grinder. They untied him. And then at that point made him on that same back carry his cross up Calvary's Hill. And at Calvary's Hill, they began to nail his hands that he stretched out upon the cross for you and I. They nailed the stakes through his hands. They nailed his feet together. And it wasn't enough that they just nailed him to the cross. No, they had to nail it where his hands were and his arms were not fully extended. His legs were bent and nailed together so that with every breath that he had to take, the only way he could get his breath was for him to push up on the nails that were driven in his flesh to get a grasp of air. So every air, he'd have every breath, he'd have to push up and breathe and back down and breathe on the nails in his hands and in his feet. He hung there until all the joints in his body began to come loose and detached. His body was dying from the inside out. His lungs filling up with toxins and fluid. He rejected any kind of medicine that would take away the pain. He took the crown of thorns that was pushed upon his head because he loved you and I. He loved us. He gave us life for us. Look what the next scripture says here. In 1 Peter 2:24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we're healed, spiritually and physically. He nailed himself to the cross so you and I can be made whole. We got to decide today, what is holding you back? The captain in the movie yelled out, he says, "Doctor, say it out loud that you had to cut me loose and let go in order to live." And she's like, "No, no, I'm coming to get you. No, no, I'm going to find you. I'm going to come and rescue you." And he goes, "No, you can't. You don't have enough left. If you waste the fuel that's there, if you waste anything you have to get to me, you'll never have enough fuel to get back to where you can be saved." And so he said, "Say it out loud. Say it. Admit it. That I have to let you go in order to live." Finally, she says it. "I had to cut you loose. I had to let you go in order to live." See, I wonder in our life what we got to let go. I wonder what's holding us back from living life to everything that God's got for us. What pain? What hurt relationship? What abuse? What addiction? What pride? What are things in our life that are holding us back from experience a life of purpose? For experience a life of destiny that only a Savior can give. What's holding you back today that you got to let go of? "Pastor, I've been carrying this thing around a long time." Well, I love the way Hebrews says it in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, since we are around all these great people of witnesses, he says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Let it go. That's what he's saying. Let go of everything that slows us down, that weighs us down. You ever feel like life's just pulling you down? That's gravity, right? Gravity's pulling you down. Life's pulling you down. He says, let go of the weights that are pulling us down, especially the sin that so easy trips us up. But I love this next verse because it says, let us what? Run. Let's all say it together. Say, run. Let me give you a revelation today. You are never destined to float through life. God has always destined that you run. He wants you to run through life full of vision, full of hope, full of a God-given destiny. He is destined for your life to be a life of running through life. Don't just float getting by. Don't just spin out of control, but attach yourself to the Savior and let Him put your legs back on the ground and let Him set you free of your past so that you can run again. God is destined that you run, not float through life. With a purpose. That's all great, Pastor, but how does this really relate to the Easter story? Let me give you the great news of the Easter story. That even though our Savior was crucified and died for us, it says that they put Him in the ground, in the tomb. But this is the great story of Easter. And it's this, that our God defied gravity. He went down, but He came back up. That's the power of the Easter message, that He defied gravity. We serve a God who went down but came back up. That death, hell, and the grave had no power over His life. And that every promise that He made, that we can say, you know what? It's validated. It's truth. If He had died and never rose again, then we can say, well, that was just a great teacher. Maybe He was a great prophet. But when He rose from the grave and He appeared to dozens and dozens of people after, He validated the one thing He said that was the most important part of His deity and His godliness, is that He rose from the dead and has power over death, hell, and the grave. And in your life, you feel like life is pulling you down. In your life, you feel like your life has no purpose. You're spinning out of control. I try to get up. I get pulled down. I'm saying, connect yourself to the gravity-defying God. And let Him pull you back up to where you need to be. This is the power of Easter. That our God wants to pull us back up with a life of purpose and running. I want you to watch a video here of a young man and his wife in our church who had a life that was spinning out of control. A life addicted to drugs. As you see in this video, you'll see one decision he made to stretch out the lifeline and receive the lifeline of a Savior, set off a chain reaction of events that changed his world. Let's watch this.
My name's Aaron Garcia.
Emily Garcia.
And we are the Garcias. Growing up, I was always a good kid. I had the right family, the right friends. I had everything. But then I turned 16 years old and everything changed. It changed for the worst. I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. I started doing things that I shouldn't be doing. Started skipping class, failing in my subjects. I mean, life itself was coming down. I was empty inside. I barely graduated high school, and I met some more people. These people were very dark. I moved into a drug house and became addicted to methamphetamines. And I was losing my mind. I turned on my family, I turned on my friends, and I even turned on myself. I became completely subjective to drugs. Then one night, that all changed. All that emptiness inside, I couldn't deal with it anymore. And so I looked to God, and I called out to Him, "If you're there, I need you. I do not want this life anymore." 3 days later passed, and my roommates were kicking me out. It was a disguised blessing. I went home, strung out on drugs. My mom didn't want to let me back in. She was so scared to let her own son back in. And my dad said, well, let's give him a chance. He's our son. We can't abandon him. So the next 3 days, I went through withdrawals. I slept, only to wake to use the restroom and drink fluids. Along came with that, I had to cut everybody off. I had to cut all my drug friends off, all the bad people in my life. I had to completely shut my phone off. And I went through anxiety and depression and difficulty. I was working at some dead-end jobs, going nowhere still. I was drug-free at the time, but like I said, I was going nowhere. And I went and got my phlebotomy license, and I started working at BioLife Plasma Services, and life was good. It was getting better. But then I met some people there, some nurses, and I said, what do you do? What does nurses do? And they said, Aaron, we save lives, and we help people. And I said, that's what I want to do. So I went to college. I got my degree. It was very difficult, but I got it. And God is good. And today, I now save lives, all for the goodness of God, teaching people, ministering to people, and changing their lives, just the way He changed my life. But God had more for me. He had a greater purpose for my life. Not only did He take me out of drugs and put me in an established career, He had a bigger purpose for me. And He led me to Destiny Church. And in that church, growth happened. Spiritual growth was acquired. And then I met my wife, Emily. She's been the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. Since we've been at Destiny's Church, we've grown our roots deep. We got married in the church. We got involved in the young adult ministry. We work with the children in the church. And God is truly blessing us each and every day. Destiny's Church is more than just a church. It's our home. It's a place where God has led us, where we can grow, not just with ourselves, but people. Building true relationships. I always say, you know, Destiny Church is real people with real problems. And that's where He's placed us today. And that's where we're going to continue to be, all for the greater of His good. You know, I was thinking I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I was thinking I was going the right direction. I was, you know, in and out of relationships. But it wasn't until I finally gave my life to God that He had a better purpose for me.
Whenever I first met Aaron, and it wasn't until he started going to Destiny Church continuously and consistently, that's whenever I noticed his true growth. Because of Aaron's growth spiritually, I have also got to grow spiritually. He has helped me put God first in my life also.
You know, before I gave my life to Christ, I was just floating along. Everything was bringing me down. I had no purpose, no vision, nothing in sight. But then I gave my life to Christ, and now I have purpose. I have vision. I have been given my God-given destiny.
One decision to attach yourself to the Savior can set off a chain reaction. Our life is based on a chain of good decisions. Start making the right decision today, and tomorrow make another right decision. That's how we get from point A to point B, and to get further down the road. But it all starts with that first decision, the most important decision, and that's to attach yourself to the Savior, to accept the lifeline that He gave us on the cross. There's a popular teaching out now that's not true. It's very much wrong that says that Jesus died for all the sins of the world, which that part is true. Jesus has died for all the sins of the world that's ever happened and will happen. He's already died for those sins already. He's paid the price on the cross. That is very true. But there's a teaching that says that because He's already done that, that everybody's saved, they just don't know it yet. And the Bible's very clear. It says that even though He died for the sins of the world, we must, first of all, believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that He is Lord. That's how we enter into that relationship. That's how we receive that lifeline. We got to believe in our heart, and we got to confess with our mouth that He is Lord. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads this morning. I'm going to ask that nobody's moving around to be very still with me here. Nobody looking but me. And we're not going to do anything that will embarrass anyone in this room today. But I want to give you a chance today to hear the message of the Easter story and realize that the Savior is calling to you. I want to ask you here today, say, Pastor, I'm here. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to receive the lifeline He's throwing to my life. I want to receive that today. I've never asked Jesus into my life. Or maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago and say, I prayed that prayer a long time ago as a kid, or this has been a long time, and I haven't connected myself to the Savior in a long time. And today, I want to return and renew that covenant with God. If you're here today and you're ready to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, nobody looking but me, can you just raise your hand where I can see it and say it's me? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Several hands, guys. Keep them up. There you go. Yeah. Anybody else? Today's your day. Thanks, guys. Boy, a lot of hands going up today. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. I see those in the back as well. Anybody else? I'm going to ask one more time. You say, Pastor, it's me. I'm ready to receive the lifeline that God's throwing my way. I'm ready to live a life of purpose. I realize that no matter how much I achieve in my life, it's all in vain unless I have the Savior. One more time, if you haven't raised your hand yet and you want to accept Jesus, raise it right now where I can see it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, guys. We're going to say a prayer together. All those who raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer out loud. And as fellow Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you just to help you along. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life today. All of my sin, all of my hurts, all of my dreams, I place in your hands today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer for the first time today. We say, welcome to the family of God. What a great thing. Yeah. Our musicians and singers are going to come back and close us out with one more song. As they do, I want to make one thing very clear, give you some direction. For those who prayed that prayer today for the first time, let me tell you, you need to be involved in a journey. Christianity is not a one-time decision. It's about a journey. And today, you've made a decision to enter that journey and saying, I'm going to live my life pursuing after my relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a home church, you need to be connected to a home church. You're welcome here anytime. We'd love to have you. Be surrounded by people who know what you're going through, who can encourage you, who can speak life over you, who can teach you, support you. Get connected. The Word of God says that we are to be connected to what He calls the body of Christ, which is the local church. So we want to invite you to be there. Get connected. Let God change your life. Aaron made a decision to accept Jesus. But you see how he one decision left from accepting Jesus, making a positive change, to us saying, you know what, it's more about than just a prayer. It's also about getting committed to the body of Christ. And when he made that commitment to be faithful, what happened? His life began to take even more positive spins and walk in a higher level of blessing and destiny that God had for his life. So get connected to the local body. We'd love to have you anytime here at Destiny. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, when you leave here today, we'll have people in the very back at the Welcome Center, and they would love to give you a free Bible. And inside that Bible, some information we have for you there that tells you what to do next on your journey with Jesus Christ. Just our free gift to you today. Thank you so much. I invite you to stand with us today as we close with this song that simply says, Hallelujah, our God reigns.
By your stripes we are healed, by his nail pierced. we're free. By His blood, we're washed clean. Now we have the victory.
Hallelujah, Father, we bless your name together. We bless your name. Our God is risen. Our God is surely alive. He is risen from the grave, giving us life. And Father, right now, with every heart open to you, I declare that any spirit of death would leave our minds today. Any spirit of discouragement would leave our hearts today. Anything holding us back from our past would be erased in the beauty of your grace, in the power of your resurrection. Our God is alive, bringing new life, making old things pass. All things are made new. Why? Because our God is alive. He is risen. Let's close with that chorus one last time. Our God
is risen. He is alive.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many people who gave their hearts. We thank you for close to 60 people who gave their hearts over the last three services this weekend at Destiny Church. Father, we believe, Lord, that there's a celebration going on in heaven, not just on Easter, but because people are giving their lives to you in full, complete surrender. Lord, empower us today to live, Lord, the commitment that you put in our heart. Lord, I pray for grace and mercy and life over every person in this room today. We bless you together and we say, amen. God bless you today. You guys have a great Easter.